And we're continuing our study in Volume 2, and there's just one paragraph left, and we'll go ahead and read that paragraph and then open it up for discussion. And I have a couple other kind of just looking back over this chapter type questions. But let's go ahead and read this paragraph. And Sister Sharon Fifield, it's nice to have you connected with us this morning. Could we have you read, this is the first paragraph on 199, and it is, it begins, "A Spirit of Liberty Throughout."
The spirit of liberty throughout all the land is indeed sometimes carried to an unreasonable extent by the ignorant and the hot-headed. And yet it is all part of the great, unavoidable jubilee excitement occasioned by the ignorance and oppression of the past. None but the Lord's little flock is fully and correctly informed as to the grand scope of the restitution. These see the minor changes, the straightening out of the lesser affairs of men, but they see also what can be seen from no other standpoint than God's word, that the great enslaver, sin, is to be shorn of its power, and that the great prison house of death is to be opened and a release presented to each prisoner, signed in the precious blood of the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, the great Redeemer and Restorer. Glad tidings indeed it shall be to all people, not only to the living, but also to all that are in their graves. Before the end of this great jubilee, every human being may go entirely free, may get back to man's first estate. Very good, receiving back through Christ all that was lost in Adam. Would you like me to read the poem?
We already read it. We sang it.
Sorry.
So we'll stop with the end of the paragraph here and just open this up for comments. And I'll start with Sister Sharon, who read the paragraph. And as you were reading through this, Sister Sharon, anything that you'd like to highlight?
Well, it's happy. But I appreciated our wondered about where it says, but the Lord's little flock is fully and correctly informed as to the grand scope of the restitution. I guess that means after they're in heaven, because nobody knows who the little flock is now. And I found that interesting that, they'll see everything as it's playing out, and they will, they will understand it from God's word. They will understand how it was prophesied, how it played out, and that's a great opportunity to those who make the little flock, to look forward to, and all. Of course, that could be any one of us, I also appreciated, where it talked about the liberty throughout all the land. That is a lot of people who have hot tempers and all that. They are not part of the Jubilee excitement because the Jubilee excitement won't be hot tempered. It'll be exciting. It'll be freeing. But it won't have anything to do with what happened in the past. So anyway, that's it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I like you that you drew attention to the little flock and the little flock on this side of the veil are the only ones who know who the little flock truly is. And they've been given, a preview of this restitution from the Word of God, and it's something that inspires them and guides them in the way. And of course, those who are on the other side of the veil, they see this unfolding in a more glorious and complete way, and can see what's coming in a way that we can't on this side of the veil. But we do have that hope and that vision that's outlined here. Thank you for highlighting that. Any other comments on this concluding kind of a summary paragraph, and how liberty is kind of a spirit, and we've seen it from the French Revolution onward. We're studying in Volume 3 and have been thinking a lot about, you know, the French Revolution. But that was a liberating time, but also a pretty horrible time as well. So we have a few hands coming up, and the first hand at the top of my list is from the Tower Connection. Over to you.
I have a couple of comments. The first part of the paragraph, that liberty is indeed sometimes carried to an unreasonable extent. One of the examples that came to mind is the thought that's rather prevalent nowadays that about freedom of speech. You can't stop people from, shouldn't stop people, they say, from publishing or speaking anything they want, because that would be restricting their liberties. And so we have a lot of pornographic material that's published and shown on TV and all the modern cell phones and all that, and they say it wouldn't be right for us to restrict that, which is to me a really good example of carrying that spirit of liberty to an unreasonable extent. And then where it says the grand scope of restitution reminded me of Revelation 21, 1 through 4. I won't read all of it, but verse 2 refers to the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. And then verse 4 talks about God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That to me is a good scripture to explain the grand scope of restitution. Over.
Okay, thank you. Very good comment. And some, that is a nice way to highlight the grand scope, as you put it. Thank you, Sister Stephanie. Our next hand is from Sister Alice. Over to you.
The quote in the first line, liberty throughout all the land. It's Leviticus 25:9-10. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the day of atonement. Ye shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. That's where that quote is. Over.
Okay, thank you. And I'm so glad you read that. And that's the literal jubilee trump of the past, but it echoes through history. And we see how that cry of liberty has continues to go forth. Thank you. Sister Alice. And our next hand is from Brother Walter. Brother Walter, go ahead.
Thank you, Brother Bill. My thoughts kind of went to Jesus' words to Peter when Peter said, you know, thou art the Son of God, and Jesus' response, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven. And what a narrow bandwidth of people who understand the Lord's return and the time of Jubilee. I was thinking of a couple of texts. On one end of the scale, there's that 2 Peter 3 context of 3 and 4, knowing that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his presence? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And on the other end of the scale, probably a bigger scale yet, would be that Luke 21 context of men's hearts failing them for fear. They see the signs of the Son of Man, but don't recognize what's going on. So, indeed, that John 6:45, that we shall all be taught of God, is not because we're so smart. In fact, put on the spot, I don't think I could really go through step by step of the Lord's return process of you know, sharing it with someone else detail for detail, but I understand the end product of the Lord has returned, the times of refreshing have come, and we look forward to the full revealment. Over.
Okay, thank you, Brother Walter. Some really good tie-ins there with how the Lord taught Peter and told him that he was taught of God. And the world of mankind in the future, when the God's Spirit is poured out upon all mankind, they will understand as they've never understood before. Sister Margaret, we see your hand. Over to you.
Yeah, I likewise had Luke 21. I'd like to read, it includes what Brother Walt quoted, but I'd like to read 25 through 29, if that's okay.
Yes.
Luke 21, thank you. Luke 21, 25. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Then I thought there was, I thought it was here, it was, did I read it already? Behold the fig tree. Oh yes, it is, 29. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. For us it is a time of rejoicing, but for mankind it is a fearful time. But particularly 29, the point of Israel and the impact it's having on the world now in particular, but it's the liberty is worldwide, and so it's to all the trees, and we can see demonstrations and so forth because they don't realize their liberty is for the reason that we understand. They just have liberty to do things that they, many countries were not able or permitted to do previously. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I really like that tie-in with Luke 21 and verses 25 through 29, and especially that focus on Israel and how that will be, I think, where men will begin to see God's hand is as he intervenes in the affairs of Israel. Brother Jerry, we see your hand. Over to you.
Yes, Brother Bill. A lot has been said about liberty and false liberty and excesses. At the same time, it's a mixed world with liberty and rights being proclaimed against the oppressive regimes of this earth. Maybe in this side of the world, it was less emphasized because it was founded upon the notion of liberty and human rights. And yet in other parts of the world, there is this desperation for liberty from these excessive oppressive powers. And the oppressor has been exposed as being very autocratic and abusive to their peoples. So the cry of liberty has both sounds, excesses and rights, actually. I was just looking up the word liberty in just across the scriptures, and there's so many aspects just looking up that one word. The poem that ends, that was the hymn that we sang, was the Jubilee trumpet, and the text in Leviticus was also read, that it was, the year was sounded with a trumpet. And then in Revelation 11, 15 through 17, 18, in there, is that the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So the seventh angel sounding is accompanied with these voices. And the 18th verse says, the nations were angry, thy wrath has come. And the time of the dead and the resurrection of the sleeping saints has already begun. But these voices in the 18th verse, or the judgment of the nations, and their anger is very much proclaimed in the world today, because they're struggling to hold their position, and some have been removed altogether, and some are desperate to hang on to the old world. But we're in a great transition time with both the voices of just and unjust liberty. Thank you. Over.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Thank you for bringing in the Revelations text of the seventh angel sounding, and especially that 18th verse, and the nations were angry. We can see that anger. Thank you, Brother Jerry. And our next hand is from Sister Sharon. Go ahead, Sister Sharon.
Yes, Brother Bill. Two things is I'm going to go back in the paragraph a little bit to the thought on page 199, where it says, is to be shorn of his power, that the great prison house of death is to be opened and a release presented to each of the prisoners. And my mind went to when Paul and Silas was in prison, and there was the earthquake, and this is found in Acts 16. And I don't think there will be an earthquake when the graves will be opened, but I like the analogy here. I think that's the right word. So I'm in Acts 16, verses 26 and 27. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosened. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But of course, Paul and Silas hadn't fled. So I was thinking how great that those around will be when death is no more, and when the prison house of death is eliminated. So I like that one. And then on totally different one, the very last line of the paragraph says, very good, receiving back through Christ all that was lost in Adam. And they were singing this, then they singing this hymn 24. And I saw in Isaiah 14, verse 7, the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Mm-hmm. So I thought that that fit with that last line of being very good. Over.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Sharon. That's one of that Isaiah text is one of Sharon's or one of Donna's favorites. And you nicely brought those out. I really appreciate that, how you tied those two texts, one's in Acts and the one's in Isaiah. Thank you, Sister Sharon. Sister Margaret, over to you.
Yeah, picking up also on the bottom of 199 that Sister Sharon referred to, I'd like to read Isaiah 42, 6 and 7. Isaiah 42, 6 and 7. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. So I think it was probably referring, maybe in particular, to this scripture. And I'd like to read a couple of comments from expanded comments on a light of the Gentiles, because it follows up on previous comments. The Hebrew nation will be light bearers to all other nations to enable them all to come under the blessings of Israel's new covenant. That's probably sufficient, but I think it's so significant what's going on now and what we understand will continue on with both the world and in particular again Israel and the role that they have to play once, Lord willing, we're off the scene. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Sister Sharon, or Sister Margaret. It's a really good emphasis, focus, how Israel will be such a focal point, and the rest of the world will see how they have been blessed and will want to follow their lead. Thank you. Brother Walter, we see your hand. Over to you.
It's really thankful for Sister Sharon bringing up that Acts 16 context. It never dawned on me before to liken that the time of the earthquake and the time of the loosening of the prison and so forth. And then as reading on a little bit, prison keeper might liken that to the powers that are to be, or the powers now, saying, uh-oh, things are going on here, I'm losing my control, I'm in deep trouble. And then they asked Paul and Silas, what do I do? And a light was brought in, and he knelt down before Paul and Silas and was instructed in what he should do. So it just kind of reminds me of that Ezekiel 38 context of the transition period will be just a marvelous time. It'd be a little scary for some at first, but it will be the blessing of all the families of the earth. Over.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Walter. Thank you for expanding on that Acts 16 and tying that into how it will be in the kingdom. Really good comments. I'd like you to all look in your volumes. We sang it. And just glance through that poem. And it is an uplifting poem. And, a happy time when the seventh trump is heard by all of mankind. Any comments on that hymn and those words and why they make such a nice anchor for this chapter? Sister Sharon, we see your hand. Over to you. Sharon Fifield.
All the time that we were singing that, I was really getting the words, and it's like all of a sudden a light came onto me, because through all the study, I have not been able to really appreciate the Jubilee. I haven't seen the importance of it or what it was trying to point to. It was just over my head. And this little song, this little poem, put everything into perspective. And I feel like now I understand the beauty of the Jubilees and how the history of the Jubilees helps us to appreciate the big Jubilee that's to come. And I liked it where at the very end of the chorus it says, "Returning ransomed sinners home." And it's like all of a sudden, like I say, a light came on and I saw that's what the Jubilee is all about, is when the dead will come from their graves and know what a beautiful kingdom and world that the Lord God has given us, and that what Jesus gave in his righteous blood to redeem us all. Anyway, before you even said you wanted somebody to comment about this, I was thinking I was going to comment because it's really has done me a blessing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sister Sharon. Thank you for sharing that, because I think it really emphasizes the Jubilees is drawn from the system of Jubilees that was given to Israel, which was intended to picture the grand Jubilee that we sing about here. And you very nicely made that connection. Thank you. Sister Margaret, we see your hand.
Yeah. First, I noticed we sang five verses from our hymn book, and I was wondering why the, because I think space on the page is the answer to why the verse three of our hymn was not in there, because it's totally appropriate. "Extol the Lamb of God, the all-atoning Lamb, redemption through his blood to all the world proclaim." And then I was impressed by the next verses, third on our page 200. "Ye who were sold for naught, whose heritage was lost, may have all back on board the gift of Jesus Christ." The thought that mankind, they'll hear the only name under heaven whereby they may be saved. So many have not heard that name, and it will be a wonderful time and a wonderful opportunity, hopefully, for us to reach out to them. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. What you just said brought to mind Sister Cheryl's testimony on Thursday, where when she witnesses, at this one particular instant where she was kind of caught off guard, I thought it was really good that she pointed out that, you know, I don't think mankind has yet, not all of mankind has yet had the opportunity to understand. And so there must be a time when that understanding will be provided. Thank you. Thank you for that emphasis. And you know, I didn't catch that there was a verse missing, and I'm glad you pointed that out. And it is a key verse. Brother Jerry, over to you.
Brother Bill, I don't know how much to continue this. I think that all the brethren have a wonderful perspective on some of this. But I just wanted to comment a little on the second verse of that hymn, where it says, "Ye weary spirits rest, ye mournful souls be glad. The jubilee of earth has come, returning ransomed sinners home." I think it may have been on last week's 60 Minutes or some document like that. It was a record of Uganda with open borders to fleeing immigrants from other, even more oppressive lands. And those from Sudan and South Sudan who were being hunted and killed have fled for escape. And Uganda opened their borders to them and gave them a little plot of land to cultivate some corn or something. And now the aid that had supported that movement has diminished, the international aid. And we saw this lady that was had cultivated the land, and now it was divided in half because so many more were fleeing, and her food supplies were cut to one-tenth of what she had before because of the lack of sensitivity of the nations, and just struggling to support a child. And she's there with a hoe digging among the weeds, trying to plant something for a little food and giving what food she had to the child. These are heartbreaking views of the weary ones. "Ye mournful souls be glad, ye weary spirits rest." The answer, the kingdom, will be exactly what these people want. We want to work. We want to supply our children with food. We want to have them education. We want to have health. And they are struggling so humbly and sincerely. And it is a cry for liberty. And the very fact that it is published is a wake-up call to the world that those that are serving their own interests are neglecting the human interests of others. So when we pray for the kingdom and that we will be a part of the blessing, what a wonderful experience to bring life and health and food and hope to these weary ones. Over.
Okay, thank you. A very poignant example of some of the suffering that mankind's fallen economy have created and how that will be all straightened out in the kingdom. Thank you, Brother Jerry. Brother Bill Facker, we see your hand. Over to you.
Well, Brother Bill, Brother, I know that this verse probably has, these few verses have probably come out in the study of this chapter, but I just wanted to emphasize it, and I think it goes along with our discussion. We have the privilege as the little flock to let our light shine. And I'm looking at Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to point unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." And then the fourth verse, "And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. So we have the privilege of sharing when we ever have opportunity to, that these are God's promises to correct the wrong and to let them know that, you know, that there are going to be better days that they can rejoice in and, give them comfort and hope. Over.
Hey, thank you, Brother Bill. What a good text, and I'm glad you read that, Isaiah 61, 1 to 4, and drew our attention to it. You know, I think Sister Alice brought out the Leviticus context of this Jubilee time and that the Jubilee trumpet would sound. And it's a happy, intended to be a joyful sound, that which was lost would be restored. But mankind in his fallen state becomes very possessive of what he's been able to accumulate and have control of. But some of that accumulation has been at the cost of others who have not been so fortunate and have had the soul sell their goods. But in the kingdom, it will truly be a happy sound. And those that have accumulated will be joyful to share what they have with others that don't have so much. And they will want to help others. And that covetousness will be removed. And it'll be a process, but it will be removed. And the Jubilee trumpet will be a joyful sound. As this Isaiah text points out. Yes, Sister Sharon, over to you.
Okay, Brother Bill, can I just make a comment about on the first page of this study? Or did you want to go on to something else?
No, go ahead. So we're going back to the first page of the chapter?
Yeah, 173.
Okay, I get to scroll all the way to the top. All right.
Okay, this was a difficult chapter for me, and I know others seem to be able to grasp all that was said in this paragraph, in this chapter, but it's chapter 6, and then we're going now the new chapter that we'll be in is the parallel dispensations. So I think Brother Russell was setting us up to try to understand, first of all, about the Jubilee, but just look at the points that we have discussed, under the word Earth's Great Jubilee, the times of restitution of all things. Of course, for me, that's just another proof that restitution has begun. But foretold by Moses, okay, so we got a date here that we're starting on. Well, and then it says, the date of times of beginning indicate they cannot begin until the great restorer has come. So here's another evidence. And I keep going to the next word. Evidence from the law, corroborating testimony from the prophets, logical. Now, I'm not sure that logical is good in my mind, but anyway, I'm sure everybody else thought it was logical. Conclusions drawn from these as separately and unitedly considered harmony or of present indications. So that's a huge lot that we have gone through on establishing about the Jubilees, how many were kept, how many weren't kept, what was happening in the time of keeping them and the time that wasn't keeping them. So maybe that's too simplistic, but anyway, that's what I was working on, thinking about this chapter. Over.
Okay. Thank you so much for taking us back to the beginning and reading through these points that were considered. I'd like to open up this discussion. I just like your retrospective view here, Sister Sharon. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, and I'd like to open up the discussion now that we've looked back over this chapter. Thanks for Sharon pointing us to these subheadings. Any highlights as we recall the chapter as a whole that was meaningful to you as we went through it? Yes, Brother Brad, over to you.
Brother Bill, I would say one of the points that comes to mind for me is the length of time that it takes for these things to unfold. Our lifetimes are pretty brief by comparison, but we see that the timing of these, and you know, we took them back. I was looking for my note on it, but I didn't find it. It was suggestive that I can't remember how many, but it was like 2/3 of human history entire is involved in the process of these jubilees, between their being given and going into the land and being given the law and up to our point where the antitype started, or where the fulfillment started. So, you know, I just think of it in terms of how we have to try and get to that scale in our minds and our thinking, because I think there is a tendency that we have expectations, and they're, for whatever reason, they usually are completed within our lifetime. And then a lot of times people find out that that's just not the case. So that was one thought. I'll just raise something else that I just read. I don't know how others would consider this, but I had never heard this before or read this. When we're looking around the world in the last decade or so, one thing that has been prominent in the news is the open borders or closed borders in different countries. And that has been a very significant issue. What I had just read was, and I don't know if it's valid, It's really always hard to understand what governments are doing, why they're doing it. Sometimes we look at it and we just scratch our head. Why are they doing this? It seems destructive to their own condition. And what I read was that one of the reasons, and just one, but one of the reasons, that driving reasons of why the Western European countries were inviting in so many foreigners is because they're trying to make reparations for colonialism. They're trying to give something back for what they took away. And I thought, well, I wonder if that has some bearing with what we are talking about with the Jubilees. And I usually wouldn't ascribe that kind of credit to political thinking in our day, but I thought it was an interesting consideration. Over, back to you, Brother Bill.
Okay, that is an interesting thought, and I'm glad you brought that out. Thank you for tying that in to our conversation, Brother Brad. Sister Margaret, we see your hand. Over to you.
I know there were different times where something was significant to me at the various study. I really appreciated today's study. Very lovely. And the various comments. I know I've said it before, but for encouragement, the first time I read this chapter, obviously years ago, I thought, I'll never get this. But then it was going to be studied in the Detroit class, and I thought, I've got to get it. So actually, it was the start of a sisters meeting. We read a lot of reprint articles, and I did get it, but most of all, and I still do this, the two graphs, you call them, on page 186 and 195, to me, that so helps the Jubilee by the law and prophetically. And I think of the scripture, both in the Old and the New Testament, for different things out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. So it's confirmed by these two important factors of the law and the prophecies. And I'm so appreciative of all that this does mean. There's so much in this chapter. And that's where I got to have written it down somewhere. There's one reprint article that I know we found that, to me, Brother Russell is so concise. And if someone wanted to understand the Jubilees, I'd say read that reprint article, because it goes into so much detail in this chapter, which is helpful and interesting. But to get the concept, I feel he was so concise. And I have it written down somewhere, and I'm going to find it for future reference. And I know in the Overland Monthly there's also an article. But anyway, I've really appreciated the reinforcement of the study and all that it's so meaningful to us, in time-wise particularly. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Margaret. I really appreciate those comments and how these other articles have helped you tie it together. For myself, well, not too many paragraphs back from the end, he says how precise this is, and if you change anything just a little bit, it these cycles of 50 times 50 or 40, 49 times 51, these cycles don't work anymore. And I started thinking about that with my mathematical mind and doing different shifting, and I found out what I was shifting was not the Jubilees. I wasn't adding a Jubilee or taking a Jubilee away, but I was shifting the 70 years desolation. I was moving that period, because it's that period that we use to figure out how many Jubilees were celebrated and when the Jubilee cycle actually came to an end. And that linking of the 70 years desolation happening at just the appropriate time to allow us to have this cycle of 50 times 50 or 49 times 51 to have these point us to the time of our Lord's return and the begin of the 1,000-year millennium, the beginning of the grand jubilees. And it just became a bridge to me to cement in my mind the accuracy of the chronology that we studied in chapter 2. that outlined all those periods. So I've just really appreciated the study, and it's I've been through the Jubilee several times, and each one just enhances my faith. Any other comments before we transition to a new chapter? Let's go ahead and turn our pages.
Brother Jerry has his hand
up. Oh, Brother Jerry. Did you have your hand up? Go ahead.
No. I just, I'm compelled to, I wanted to share something, but then maybe I shouldn't. Some time ago, Brother Bruni made four wonderful illustrations of this chapter that I thought was so beautiful, wonderful. And then he says, oh, don't use these, don't share them. And, I still think that they're so wonderful, but because he asked not to, I guess I shouldn't, but, sometimes it's his pictures are just worth a thousand words. I'll leave it be. Go ahead, Brother Bill. Over.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Jerry. So we will consider this. We're really pretty close to the end of our time, but I thought we'd do just one thing at the beginning of this next chapter, the parallel dispensations. And it is a long one, and I will put this into the chat. I don't know how many have their chat up. Here it is. And this is just the subheadings. And there are a lot of subheadings in this chapter. But in your books or on the chat, are the subheadings for this new chapter on page 200? At 201. And just glance through those. I won't take the time to read them, but glance through them and see if there's anything you'd just like to think about or to highlight. My eyes went to the very last one, and I will take the time to read it, because it's kind of a summary heading. It's the longest heading. Harmony of the Bible Chronology, Jubilee Testimony, Gentile Times, and Other Prophecies with the Lessons of These Parallels, Unanswerable, Conclusive, and Satisfying. And that's, I guess, what I appreciate about these chapters are how they tie together and tie other chronological disciplines like the Jubilees, tie them together as well. But anyway, any of these subheadings jump out to anybody that they just like to highlight? And Brother Brad.
Brother Bill, I have a couple underlined in this section. The ones that I highlighted are period of fleshly Israel's favor and period of disfavor.
Hmm.
Because that has always, I have always felt that I think it's Jeremiah 16, but I didn't double check that. The Mishnah and the control of the Lord over how things unfold and the timing of things is so precise. that it really, those kind of prophecies, that's one of my favorite prophecies that, you know, I've ever learned about. And it really is a confirmation. I think it's Isaiah 42, might be 40, 46, 46, 10. It says, let me bring it up here. Always a favorite text. It's actually, I think, 46, 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. So that concept of God's ability to put these things down well in advance of their occurrence is really, I think, the gift of the Lord. That's why we are given prophecy. It's a confirmation of God's capacity, his ability, and therefore it gives us confidence that the things that are still yet ahead will also come to pass just as surely as the things that have already happened. So that was a couple of my favorite lines in the lead, in the opening.
So okay. Thank you. Thank you. That's a good summary and a good closing comment. We are at the end of our time, dear brethren. And, so we will pick up next time on page 201 at the beginning of, Study 7, the parallel dispensations. So, page 201, paragraph 1.
And Brother Bill, I know you're looking away. Can I throw in one more text? I put one of the verses in, but Psalms 90, verses 1 through 4, are really beautiful in regard to our discussion. I'll put them in the chat, but... I'm having computer glitches here right now, but
I see you put Psalms 94. Okay.
Yeah, I did. I put 90 verse 4, but the verses 1 through 4 are really helpful. They're kind of similar to that Isaiah 46, and I'll just leave it there for others to maybe read over.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So Psalms 90, 1 through 4. Interesting the way that opens. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Okay. Thank you for those verses, Brother Brad. Let's go ahead and again, we'll pick up. Begin with the first paragraph on page 201.